If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob, and this is podcast number 124. It's April 13, 2015. Well, today we're looking at God's call on some of the apostles. Let's quickly go through some of those, and then we'll come outside the Bible to where God called people in our day. Matthew 9:9 is where we're going to begin today. Would you turn there? Matthew 9:9 tells the story of Matthew himself, although it doesn't mention him by name. Matthew 9:9. Here we go. It does mention him by name, I'm sorry, but in one of the other versions, or one of the other Gospels, it talks about a man named Levi, same man. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at a tax office, and he said, "Follow me," and he arose and followed him. Again, we're led to believe, just by reading that text alone, that Matthew just immediately got up and made no counting of the cost, didn't know this man at all. I don't know about that. I don't know if that's the whole story or if we can assume that he had seen Jesus around before and he was getting ready and even hoping that Jesus would call him, that God had already put that in his heart. I don't know. Fact is, when Jesus shows up on the scene, he begins asking you to consider him, to consider yourself, to consider what needs to be done. Put all those things together and you have a call. Now, Matthew just knew inside. What do you know? What do you know inside already? Build on that. Do you know about the situation? You can see the need around you. You know about Jesus and you've had some kind of contact with him. But do you know exactly what he's calling you to do? Then drop everything and go do it. Well, in Matthew 10, the very next chapter in Matthew, we see when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, and then he calls them apostles, in verse 2, the names of the 12 apostles. So the calling of God comes in various stages. Many of you may be disciples already. He calls all of his people to be disciples, to be learners. And he calls some of those learners to go and have other people learn, to disciple other people. That's how the pattern continues to go on. Actually, technically, every disciple should be turning into an apostle, small a missionary, even if just to your family, a missionary to your community, or maybe some other land. But that's what he makes all of his people. So there's that generic call to all of us, and we need to ask God specifically what the specific call is and where he is leading us, what doors he is opening, what doors he is closing. And the leadership of God, it can be counted upon. After all, he is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one that wants all these things done to begin with. You can count on him. Don't go off too quickly, but don't wait too long either. In Mark, you see much of the same thing that happens in Matthew. So we're going to skip over to Luke real quickly in chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Luke 5, on over there. Now, I know it looks like there's a whole lot of the Bible left, but actually, we're running out of men to call in the New Testament. 5:1-11. Four fishermen called as disciples. It's the same basic story in a little different context. And you see, since it's a little different than the one in Matthew, doesn't mean that there's a contradiction, but that Jesus appeared to these men in different ways at different times. You see it very different in the book of John. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 35 and following. John 1:35 and following. Here we go. The next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Now here you've got John the Baptist showing up. And he's not in those other accounts of the calling of the disciples. But you see that here are some men. Andrew is one, and we think Philip is another one, and John the Baptist had several disciples, quite a few, and little by little they began to go over to Jesus, and you know how that went. That's a different subject altogether. The thing that I could bring out here is that you may have a lesser calling on your life right now. That is, you may have followed the Lord the way you thought you were supposed to follow the Lord, because that's the way the people in your church taught you how to follow the Lord, and so you followed Him the best way you knew. But as you go along with those folks, and as you go along with that situation, you begin to understand there's more, and you can hear Jesus in His Word calling to you to kick it up a notch, if I may use a modern term, to do a little more than you did before, to care about some other things that you hadn't cared about before that your church never taught you. You know, the church is all split up today. It's all divided. Now, if you read your Word, your Bible, you can get the whole story. So I'm not asking you to go from church to church, but I am saying that there are measures of truth in the different denominations, and sometimes different measures and different truths even. Not that they are that this church is wrong and that one's right. It's just this church has capitalized on a part of the truth, and this church is emphasizing another part of the truth, and you didn't get to hear that other part because you were over here. So the Lord may have to shine the light of His Word on your situation and show you, wait a minute, there's more. Not only more for me to learn, but more for me to do. Wait a minute, I've been doing it this way, but there's other ways to do it that are even better. God's not upset that you are following, quote, John the Baptist right now. I use that figuratively. He's not upset that you're with that group and that you faithfully serve them. In fact, the fact that you faithfully serve them, that's the reason, I believe, that He's able now to take you on to that next level, whatever or wherever that might be. And you might be staying right in that church. I don't mean that you keep leaving. But I'm just saying there's other things to know. I know that when I found out about some things in the Bible that my church hadn't taught me, they kicked me out. But we won't go there right now. That was a long time ago anyway. Let's just let it go with all the Gospels and the calling of the disciples. And let's go just a couple chapters in Acts, and then we'll leave the Scripture as far as the call of God. Acts chapter 6. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there's a problem that arose in the church. It was a material problem. You know the story of Acts 6. Most of you who listen to this podcast are Bible people, but you know that there was a situation that developed in the church that called for men to be raised up who weren't going to be preachers, at least not right away, not full time, to release the apostles, these other guys that were well ahead of them, to give themselves to the Word of God and prayer. And these guys, the Word of God prayer people, didn't want to be doing the other stuff that needed to be done. But somebody had to do it. And there were people in whom God put that desire to do those things. So again, you might have a need that comes up in your church, and you're a guy that could meet that need, and you should try to meet that need. If God will release you to do that, go ahead and meet the need. Find out what the needs are in your church and go ahead. But God will call you later to other things. In fact, He may call you at the same time, because Stephen, we find out, whose ministry was very short, called a deacon, but he preaches more than most deacons and pastors of our day. Here he is preaching a true, wonderful message in chapter 7 about the history of Israel and the history of Israel's hard-heartedness. And he brings, instead of bringing a lot of people to repentance, he brings them to killing him. And with Paul, Saul's true identity not yet come to the fore, Saul becomes the bad guy in the story. He's the one, the ringleader, that probably had Stephen killed and many, many others. But Saul gets his call, while we're talking about him, directly from heaven. Now, those directly from heaven people are apostolic people. I don't know that anybody has had that calling in our day. I don't talk about that so much. At least that, again, is not our subject right now. But I do know that in the New Testament, if you wanted to be, well, you may not ever want to be an apostle. Nobody would ever really want to be an apostle. Paul said, excuse me, Paul said that there were people who might desire the office of a bishop. But you don't ever see anybody desiring the office of an apostle. Anybody who wants to be an apostle has a problem. I'm talking about in his natural man. To be an apostle is to be like Paul, or to be like one of the other 11 who gave their lives physically, totally, constantly, always living under the pressure of persecution and the hatred of this world. They were the top men, and God's enemies went after them. So the call to apostle probably isn't even out there. The call to be a pastor or a teacher, the gifts that continue with us, the offices that continue with us year after year after century, we got people today saying, I'm an apostle, and they're coming on in our generation saying, there haven't been any apostles really since the first century up until now, but now God's restoring that office. Well, I don't know that we need that kind of a restoration if God didn't use that all those years. If he needs them now, why didn't he need them before? The Catholic Church will jump right into that little vacuum of a question and say, well, we were here. We're the successors to the apostles. Islam will come along and say all of our leaders were apostles. And, you know, everybody wants to be an apostle. The Mormon Church has a bunch of apostles leading their church. Well, I just like to keep the apostles in the first century only because I don't have any proof that Jesus has physically appeared to anybody. So if that's the call you're waiting on, it might be a long time, folks. wait for God to call you. Expect God to call you to do something, and maybe even this very day, and be faithful when he does. And then you can expect God to call you to other things. Be ready. Be willing to be called through the people in your church, through something that comes up within you, and the ideal is the combination of those two, you know, where you know it inside of you, and then you know it from the outside. It's confirmed by your church. I want to come out of the scriptures now, not against the scriptures, but come out and talk about some things that have happened since then, things that I got right from the internet. This is from that very, very famous book, My Utmost for His Highest, by Oswald Chambers. He says, we are inclined to forget the deeply spiritual and supernatural touch of God. If you're able to tell exactly where you were when you received the call of God and can explain all about it, I question whether you have truly been called. The call of God, he says, does not come like that. It's much more supernatural. The realization of the call in a person's life may come like a clap of thunder, or it may dawn gradually. But however quickly or slowly the awareness comes, it's always accompanied with an undercurrent of the supernatural, something that is inexpressible and produces a glow. At any moment, the sudden awareness of this incalculable, supernatural, surprising call that has taken hold of your life may break through. Jesus said in John 15:16, I chose you. The call of God has nothing to do with salvation and sanctification. You're not called to preach the gospel because you're sanctified. The call to preach the gospel is infinitely different. Paul describes it as a compulsion that was placed upon him. Now, I've got to stop here and say, and to qualify, you know, I've been talking about the call of God as though, yes, it has to do with salvation too. And I agree, I still believe it. I agree with myself. I believe that the call of God begins when you're called to be saved. But Oswald here is talking about the call to preach specifically. And people who are being called into very specific ministry in the world. So that's his context, and it's a good context. He says, if you have ignored and thereby removed the great supernatural call of God in your life, take a review of your circumstances. See where you have put your own ideas of service or your particular abilities ahead of the call of God. Paul said, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He had become aware of the call of God, and his compulsion to preach the gospel was so strong that nothing else was any longer even a competitor for his strength. If a man or woman is called of God, it doesn't matter how difficult the circumstances may be. God orchestrates every force at work for his purpose in the end. If you will agree with God's purpose, he will bring not only your conscious level, but also all the deeper levels of your life, which you yourself cannot reach, into perfect harmony. That's Oswald Chambers. I have some other quotes and some other men through the years who have been called of God. And then I have something very special at the very end of this. We'll be done in a couple of 3 days. Thank you so much for staying with this. Let's finish it up in the next couple of days. We'll continue it tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget what we begin with. Luke 9:23 today. If anyone wants to come after me, Jesus said, he must deny himself.